Hello, I'm glad you're joining us to listen to the June 18th, 2017 Father's Day message. It was given by Bill Climenson, and it is a very good one. For the first 2.5 minutes, there's a number of crackles and pops, and while we tried to clean it up, we weren't too successful. The good news is that we gave Bill a new microphone at about 2 minutes and 45 seconds, and it sounds great from then on. If you will listen to the whole thing, I promise that you'll be able to understand more about fatherhood and God Himself. Thanks again for listening. God bless.
Good morning, everybody. We welcome you here this morning. Today, we're going to have a Father's Day message, which seems appropriate. And this is Father's Day, and we are going to honor our fathers. But first, a little background on the holiday. The first person recognized to be bringing the idea of Father's Day observance to a national level was Sonora Dodd in 1909 in Spokane, Washington. Sonora Dodd listened to a Mother's Day sermon at Central Methodist Episcopal Church. Dodd's own mother had died 11 years earlier, and her father had raised their 6 children alone. Dodd felt moved to honor her father and fathers everywhere with a special day as well. She proposed her idea to local religious leaders and gained wide acceptance. So, in June 19, 1910, it was designed as the first Father's Day, and sermons honoring fathers were presented throughout the city. When news across the country carried the story about Spokane's observance, the popularity of Father's Day spread. Several presidents declared it a holiday, and in 1972, Richard Nixon established it as a permanent national holiday to be held on the third Sunday in June. Before we go on, let us take time to have a Father's Day prayer. Let me bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our example of how a father should teach and model his life for his children. Today, we honor all dads who are trying so hard to do the same. May you give them continued hope to keep doing what you have told all fathers to do in teaching and modeling a good Christian life for their families. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we'll try this. As we move on, fathers hold a very special place in society, a much higher place than they are given credit for today. For instance, how many of you have seen a commercial that actually makes dad look intelligent lately? Most commercials cast fathers as a family idiot who can't figure out how to take care of the kids alone, how to run a load of laundry, or clean the toilets without specific instructions from mom. American society seems to see fathers as an expendable part of the family unit. In courtrooms, divorced dads hardly have a fighting chance of obtaining custody of the kids, or even being allowed to be a significant part of their life, of the kids' life. Much less have the opportunity to be the spiritual leader of their household. The modern American father has been taught to focus too much on their work and not enough on the family. Sadly, many men today also neglect to see the importance of their role as the father themselves, which is why the term deadbeat dad was originally coined. As a result, these kids are growing up in unbalanced and in dysfunctional households. In fact, 40% of our children in America are going to bed every night without their biological father in the home. Fathers need to relearn the importance that God intended for them. There is strong evidence to show one reason for this country's moral and spiritual principles are in such an all-time low point is because of the diminishing value placed on the role of fathers in today's society. It has been said, when dad is undervalued, so is the right relationship with Abba, our Father in heaven. The goal of this message is not to remind our dads of their duties and responsibilities so much as to encourage and remind us all of the importance, the respect, and the dignity of the role of the father. Fathers play an extremely important and vital role in our families and our nation today. So statistically, what do we know? If both father and mother go to church, 72% of the children will also go to church when they grow up. If only the father goes to church, the percentage drops to 55%. However, if only the mother goes to church, only 15% of those children will go to church when they are grown. Some very hard facts to take in, but let me give a positive story. Well, it was a typical scenario. Young boys debating where the father or whose father was best. The discussion highlights who their father knew. Their first boy started the debate by claiming his father knew the mayor. He was soon topped by the second boy, who said, "That's nothing. My father knows the governor." The stakes were getting pretty high. An eavesdropping father wondered what his young son would say about him. The little boy shot back, "So what? My dad knows God." Would your son say the same thing? May our children always be able to say, "My dad knows God." Now as we move on, wait, what am I hearing? I'm having noises again. What's going on? It's my earpiece is being taken over. What's going on? It's a news flash coming through. What is this? Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Or as my old drill sergeant said, "Listen up, troops. It's your turn. So listen. We have a word coming in from the kids. They think they may not have their point of view expressed clearly this morning. So here it is from the kids. The most important thing a father can do is the following. Are you listening? Number one, just be there in the home if possible, but surely in our lives. Number two, give me your time, quality time, and things I need. Not necessarily what you want to do. It's that simple from a kid's point of view. Let's review that again. Just be there. Give me quality time. And love my mom and me. Good. If you have nothing else to take home with you today, take that, fathers. Please understand that. As we move on, research shows that children take their spiritual lead from their fathers. So how does a father become the spiritual leader? First, we must make the tough choice to be a man of God. The book of Joshua clearly shows us it is our choice. Joshua 24:15 states, "Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve." A quote from Austin Sorensen says, "A child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something in God in his father." Let me say that again. A child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. So what are the prerequisites for being a good father? Answer, You will not be a good father until you are a good man. What makes a good man? Men who have learned to lean on the Lord. Proverbs 3:5 talks about trusting God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He has the one who will keep you on track. He is the one that will keep you on track. We know there is no better source to learn than from Jesus Christ. The best dad take their examples from Jesus Christ and pass the legacy of the Lord onto their family. Good men have accepted for themselves God's plan of salvation. Ephesians 2 tells us how and why God did this for us. Because of his kindness, you have been saved through trusting Christ. And even trusting is not of yourselves. It too is a gift of God. Salvation is not a reward for what we have done good. So none of us can take any credit for it. We men are bad about trying to be in control, to make things happen. Our ladies find it easier to rest in the Lord and lean on him for salvation. It's part of a woman's nature to place themselves in someone else's hands. It's not the way of men. How do we men get past this problem? Jesus solved this dilemma by saying in Matthew 18, "The truth is, you must change your thinking and become like little children. If you don't do this, you will never enter God's kingdom." Children have the attitude of trust, even male children. But something happens to us. We begin to feel even the slightest amount of thickness in our peach fuzz. You know, guys, right here. Our man goes to sauce about that time. Then where does a good man look for their strength? In Isaiah 40 says, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength." Also, men must recognize who really supplies all their needs. Philippians 4:19 talks about God shall supply all your needs with the wonderful blessing that comes from Christ Jesus. We all want to be breadwinners and mighty hunters, we men, but ultimately we need to see even ourselves as being in God's hands. What must a good man do to receive godly wisdom? Remember what James said? Do any of you need wisdom? Ask God for it. He is generous and enjoys giving to everyone, so he will give you wisdom. So, fathers, pray and ask God for it. It is an active request on your part made to God. I thank God for a few men who have learned to lean in to God. What's the wife in the family's position in all this? In Colossians 3, the Bible introduces hierarchy. Thank you for authority and family. Colossians 18 says, and always remember this, this is always a hard part to get through sometimes, but we all need to hear it. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleased as the Lord. So in terms of authority, the father is deemed the head of the household. And in 1 Timothy 3, he is urged to manage his children and his household in a respectable manner. So the father is in charge with the responsibility of looking after the best interests of the family, financially, spiritually, and socially. But, men, listen up. Headship isn't being the big boss. It's a loving leadership. God is no respecter of persons. Women are equal in his sight. In God's wisdom, He has given each family a head, but this is not a privilege as much as it is a responsibility. The hardest thing you will ever do will be a good husband and a good father to your children. Even great men of the Bible have had a hard time being good fathers. Example, let us remember Eli could run the temple but could not run his family. Remember King David could run kingdoms and lead men to the battle but could not run his children. Some time back, there was an article about the different roles that men and dads play with their children. That image that struck one was of a little boy nervously clambering up a playground climbing frame for the first time. We all remember those times. Mom was at the bottom, calling up to him, "Be careful. Watch where you put your feet. Don't rush. Take your time." And Dad was shouting, "Go on, you can do it. What a boy. Well done. Reach for it, kid." Did you notice that each parent role was important, but just different? Parents working together as a team is the best option for raising kids. But make sure you both are thinking along the same lines. Dads think differently than moms. Example, it's called Precious Dad Moment Number One. One night, a wife found her husband standing over their newborn baby's crib. Silently, she watched him as he looked down at the sleeping infant. She saw on his face a mixture of emotion, disbelief, doubt, delight, amazement, enchantment. He would stand back and shake his head and say, "Amazing," while smiling from ear to ear. Touched by his unusual display and deep emotion aroused, her eyes glistened as she slipped her arms around him. She said, "A penny for your thought." He replied, "Isn't it amazing when you take the time and really look how anyone can make a crib like that for $89.95? Also, men, I have to say, dads are a little slower in catching on to child rearing unless they jump right in and learn with their wives. Let me give you an example called Precious Dad Moment Number Two. Imagine this, a ham sandwich to go. It was perfection. A thick slab of ham, a fresh bun, crisp lettuce, plenty of expensive light brown gourmet mustard. The corners of my jaw were arching in anticipation. This is a man sandwich. I carried it to the picnic table in the backyard. Picked it up with both hands. This is a man sandwich. Both hands. But was stopped by my wife suddenly at my side. "Hold Johnny, our 6-week-old son. I get my sandwich," he said. "Equal rights, men." I have him balanced between my left elbow and my shoulder. We know what that's like, right? And was reaching again for the ham sandwich when I noticed a streak of mustard on my finger. I love mustard. I had no napkin. So I licked it off. Okay, I saw some looks out there in the crowd. You're getting ahead of me. You just think you know what it is. Okay, you do. It was not mustard. No man ever put a baby down faster. It was the first and only time I sprinted with my tongue protruding. With a washcloth in each hand, I did the sort of routine shoeshine guys do, only when I did it on my tongue. Later, my wife said, "Now you know why they call that mustard poo-pon." Now, what should the father pass on to his children from the Christian point of view? It is our responsibility to bring our children up in the training and instructions of the Lord. Our teaching should begin when children are at a young age. Psalm 78, Deuteronomy 6, and many other Bible passages tell us to teach our children as we sit down, as we stand up, as we walk along, as we lie down, to pass on from one generation to the next the instructions of God. A dad should want his children to know God personally and in the correct way and to become godly men and women. Now, we can do that in the right way or we can do that in the wrong way. We can create misconceptions about who God is. Let me explain. A parable is told about three fathers who each felt the soft hand of his child in his own hand and realized the responsibility of teaching his child about God. The first father took his child for a walk in the woods and told the child how God had made the trees and how he could make them crash down on him if he so chose. He walked a little further with the child and saw bees gathering pollen, and he told the child how God had made those bees, and if he wanted to, he could make them come over and sting them. As they walked, the child understood the power of God, but did not see any of the love of God. So he was afraid to trust in God. The second man took his child for a walk and felt a need to let the child know all he knew about God. So, as they passed the flowers, the man kept telling different facts and stories about God. As they passed the pond that was nestled among the rolling hills, he told the child as much as he could, as quickly as he would, so he would not forget anything. When they were finished their walk, that child could not trust God, because he did not know God. He just knew about God. The third man took his child for a walk, and as they passed the grassy fields, they stopped and enjoyed it. The man told the child that God loved us so much, he made these fields so we could see his beauty. As they passed the wildflowers on the side of the road, man told the child how God loved us so much that he gave us colorful flowers to make our hearts joyful. The child came home and was able to trust in God because he knew God loved us and would provide for us. May we remember that always. In Proverbs 13, it says that a good man will leave an inheritance even for his children. The first thing we think of when we hear the word inheritance is money. But that is not the kind of inheritance the word is speaking about here. It's talking about a spiritual inheritance. If we raise our children in the way of the Lord and love them enough to teach them love, respect, and courtesy, it will keep going forward as an inheritance even to the fourth and fifth generation. Your great-grandchildren will know how to love and respect their children because you love and respect your children. There are three general things we should teach and model for our children. They are love, encouragement, and discipline. Most fathers love just as much as their moms, but express it differently. Instead of a tender hug, you will get a strong bear hug. But it still feels good to be loved by your dad. Most dads may not be as emotional as mom, but they show their love through their sense of strength and protection that a father gives and also trying to provide for the family. That said, it doesn't mean you can't learn to say the words, "Fathers, I love you," to your kids. Just do it. Got it? Ephesians 6:1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on this earth. And Proverbs 3:12 says, the Lord disciplines those he loves. He teaches them just as a father teaches the son he loves. By the way, we often get the words discipline and punishment mixed up. Discipline means to train and teach. I think we all know what punishment means. And then there's Ephesians 6:4, a passage that should be required reading for every dad. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. So now we have covered the basics to help a man to become a good father. How might a father pass his fatherly guidance onto his kids as only a man can? Remembering dads and moms might have a different teaching style. Example, study reveal that women talk 3 times more than a man. The average woman talks about 20,000 words in a day, where the man talks only 7,000. A father may use fewer words, but there is a lot of meaning behind those few words. Listen up, kids. And what they are called is dadisms. Here are a few to learn from. Ready? Number one, get in and get out. This applies to open back door or refrigerator or life in general. Meaning, I'm paying for the heat and electric in the home you're living in. I could use a little help in keeping what we have. Number two, quit talking about it and do it. Meaning, be smart and make an educated guess. But once you made the decision, act on it. Number three, also the voice of discipline. It shows an example from my father remembering what his dad said. You better stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about. This was his most effective way of discouraging tears when I don't remember finding out what the something was. Number four, and taking place, fighting in the back seat. Don't make me turn this car around. You know, I don't care if we are 700 miles from home. And he would do it. A father's encouragement. Keep on plugging. A favorite expression of fathers to their children, no matter how old they are. Not only does it encourage you to keep working hard in your professional and personal life, but it also implies that he approves and is proud of what you're doing. This means a lot to children, both young and old. Another dadism, it never hurts to ask. We learn from a father's son who once presented a detailed 12-page list to be mailed to Santa. The lesson is that nothing is impossible. Not asking or not trying is the only thing you'll regret. And last, number seven, payback buddy time. Everybody's heard of that. Payback time, usually said to an older adult child who has now experienced sleepless nights with a baby and is frustrated about a kid who acted up in church or something like it. What it really means is, I understand. I've been there. I'll be there no matter what. But the problem now is yours. Finally, this. A dad is never too tall to a child as when he kneels to pray with a child. And we must remember that a father can be a critic, but it takes a dad to be a coach. My prayer is that you are a coach. Happy Father's Day. And it looks like we're going to go right in to the benediction. So, benediction this morning, or right now, this afternoon. Proverbs 22:15, exhort us to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And Joshua 24:15, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Now go and enjoy a root beer float. Thank you.